But in the meantime, I reckon we should get present unwrapping. What do you reckon, Georgia?
I'm ready to open mine. I'm very excited.
Okay, right. So everyone's got a gift. Unwrap away, and then we'll find out what you've all got.
I got marshmallows.
Right, okay, here we go. Oh, this is fantastic. I've got Monopoly.
Very nice.
I actually got the game. We can set that up.
I have a knight.
As it looks like a carved reindeer.
Oh, it's a reindeer.
What you got, Mike? Any good?
I've got a £5 note. That's just what I wanted.
Brilliant.
Connie, what do we got?
I'm not sure how I feel about mine. I've got kitchen foil.
Actually, she really has something.
I have got kitchen foil.
Did you buy that?
That was me.
Thanks, Georgia. You know me so well.
Aluminium kitchen foil. Adam, what you got?
Yeah, I have some French brandy.
You got a bottle of brandy?
Yeah, am I supposed to be drinking this now?
Well, actually, this is quite handy because, actually, coming on later in the programme, we'll be talking to a road traffic officer who is going to talk to us about how breathalysers work. Mm-hmm. Do you mind doing a little experiment for us?
That's
fine. Do you
fine.
Like brandy?
Today, yes. how much do you want me to have?
How much do you need to drink?
A whole bottle. No.
I reckon, well, most people recreationally, when they go out drinking, they would have. They would say, well, I'll probably okay, what do you think, a couple of pints or a
not
couple
of brandy?
Not of brandy, yeah, right? So why don't you do, I don't know, three fingers? That's about,
three
that's about
fingers,
two
shots. Yeah. We'll see how it goes,
Oh, whoa.
She's got about half a pint of brandy.
He's okay. Got massive fingers.
I'd say that's four shots.
I can smell that from here. Adam's going to drink that, and then we'll see what the breathalyzer says towards the end of the programme. And you can maybe tell us if you feel competent and confident to drive as well.
Happy to help.
Thanks, Adam. You get drinking. Now, Connie, you've actually been looking at the whole question of the science of Christmas gift-giving and all that kind of thing. Mixed feelings from you, then, on your gift.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, it wouldn't have been my first choice. though I'm sure it will come in handy. It's a very useful gift. And I think that's one of the things about gift giving is there's lots of social norms. And I think pretty much everyone out there knows that probably shouldn't get someone kitchen foil for Christmas because it's just, for some reason, it's not acceptable. It's too everyday for a gift. But there's just generally, I imagine everyone's been feeling it this Christmas, a lot of anxiety around gift giving. It's quite stressful. And we spend a lot of time trying to put ourselves in the shoes of the person we're buying it for. And actually, it turns out mainly failing.
So you're saying people are not intrinsically good gift givers? Is that your point?
I think it's a bit of both. Basically, everyone is a gift giver. Well, most people, I hope, are both gift givers and gift receivers. But the thing is that you're in quite a different situation if you're the giver to when you're the receiver. And we're really, really not very good at putting ourselves in both shoes. So when we're receiving a gift, we tend to like to tell people what we want. And we like it when they give us what we want. But when we're giving someone a gift, we ask them what they want. And then we think, you know what would be much more exciting is if I got them a surprise. And then we think that actually is probably a much better gift because I spent a lot more time. You know, I thought about it. I wasn't just told. I went out and put the time and the effort in to get them a surprise. And then the person getting the gift goes, well, you weren't listening, clearly, because I asked for something and you just didn't give it to me. And is actually quite disappointed. And we do it time and time again, even though when we're in the position of receiving that gift, we will have that same kind of like, you don't even know me at all. You didn't listen. You weren't thinking. I do it all the time. My mum is particularly good at telling me exactly what she wants for Christmas. And I often just completely ignore
you
what she said
piece.
And get something else.
You go off piece quite literally.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear what the Sunday Times suggests? They say there are five rules of giving. This is in the Sunday Times from last week. And they said, choose a gift that reflects your true self. Givers and receivers feel closer if the present reflects the giver. That was their number one piece of advice. Their second piece of advice, don't add a little extra when you give someone an expensive gift. American researchers have recently shown in a series of experiments that if you buy someone something decent, like a 200 quid coffee maker, don't add a free £5 get some free coffee with this gift voucher on the side. Because as they say, bundled gifts subconsciously end up with average the value. So in other words, when you see the gift and you see something posh, expensive and something cheap to go with, your brain settles on an average between the two and judges the gift to be worth about that. So don't devalue the posh car by chucking in a free valet with it, because that's not going to buy you much cred. It also says don't spend too much early on in the relationship and don't spend too little later. It adds that cautiously. It says young unattached men often view giving gifts as fiscal foreplay. I never thought of it quite like that. If you give something too pricey, it says it could be regarded as a sexual bribe. And also says don't give presents that could be a hint, because that could cause offence. Don't give people deodorant for Christmas, because of what the message might be saying. So basically, what you're saying, Connie, is that the best thing to do is to tell someone what you want.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, there's what we've got today. So Mike got £5. And actually, there's also a lot bundled up in, we see gifts as having their intrinsic value, the quality of the gift, but there's also a symbolic value. And so money is a really interesting one, because when you're giving the gift, there's very little symbolic value in money. You're like, that's £5. I didn't do anything else or put any other time into it, but it's £5. But what they find with money is actually people really like getting money. There's no thought in it. You know, it doesn't matter. And a lot of the time, that's the thing. When we talk about it, it's the thought that counts. It turns out that actually the thought counts only to the giver, not to the receiver. And the receiver usually won't spend much time thinking about how much thought went into it at all, unless they've given an obvious hint. So Peter over here got a nice handmade piece. So he's been told to think about all the thought in that piece. Therefore, it's a good present. And equally, if a present like mine, for instance, is a terrible present, a kitchen foil, then
a lot of thought went into that. Do you mind?
Well, I was about to say, I've been given the cue that there's no thought but gone into that. So again, I've been cued to think about the giver and what went into that. And I'm quite annoyed personally. But most of the time with a normal present, non-handmade or not really bad, you're not cued, and people actually don't tend to put much time into thinking about, whereas the person on the other end's put so much time into it. And so I guess the main message here is that you don't need to put that much time into gift giving. Just get people what they want, and everyone will be happy, and we'll all have a much easier Christmas.
Oh, well, that's my Christmas sorted then. Thanks very much, Connie. And I'll have to bear that in mind for next year's Christmas shopping, which inevitably I'll probably still end up doing on Christmas Eve, given my track record. Georgia.